and verse 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. It has to be noted, as we have already observed this evening, that Israel's past deliverance from Egypt is seen as having a striking similarity to that nation's ultimate deliverance from all its faults. Reference already has been made to that. We notice the language of chapter 10 of the prophecy of Isaiah and verses 24 to 27, where twice we read, we hear Jehovah say, after the manner of Egypt. Verse 24 reads like this, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian, he shall smite thee with a rod, and to lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. Thus their former oppression in Egypt is going to be repeated. Verse 25, For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. Verse 26, And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him, and as his rod was upon the sea, so shall it be up after the manner of Egypt. And thus not only shall their former oppression in Egypt be repeated, but their former deliverance from Egypt will be repeated as well. We just notice how that this is brought before us at the conclusion of Isaiah chapter 11, where Israel is assured that the Lord will deal with every obstacle that would hinder the return of his people to their land. Verse 16, And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. And this, therefore, makes the matter most interesting. You remember, as soon as Israel had crossed the Red Sea, and her enemies had been swallowed up, she broke forth in song. Isaiah chapter 12 informs us that in her future deliverance, Israel shall call upon each other to sing the song of deliverance. And that song shall be after the pattern of the song of Exodus chapter 15. In Exodus 15 verse 2 we discover the sign, The Lord is my strength and song, and he's become my salvation. In Isaiah chapter 12 verse 2 these words are repeated. It is in fact interesting to observe that the divine title Lord in the song, in Exodus chapter 15 verse 2, is the title Jah. We're going to see that later. But please observe that was the first occurrence of Jah in the Bible. And this in fact is the title used in Isaiah 12 verse 2, for the Lord Jehovah. For Jah Jehovah is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. My dear brethren, there has never been a peal of praise Praise to the Lord from Israel, like the praise of Isaiah chapter 12. And there can't be such a paean of praise until Judah and Israel are regathered and reunited, never again to be divided, and never again to be dispersed. In the language of Isaiah 11 verse 13, the enemy of Ephraim has departed. Adversaries of Judah are cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. And not until that day shall be the pain of praise that we're going to consider in Isaiah chapter 12. If today, as a nation, Israel is hated and persecuted by surrounding nations, in that day, when Israel is regathered and restored and secure, in her gladness and joy, she will call on nations around her to share in her great joy. What a day that will be. You remember the song of redemption recorded in chapter 15 of Exodus gave place to murmuring before that chapter concludes. The murmuring at Marah. My dear brethren, Israel will have no Marahs in that future day. Our bitterness will be past. Marah shall become Naomi. Instead of bitter waters, there shall be the wells of salvation. Through there was singing and giving of thanks and shouting when the returned captives saw the foundation of the temple laid in Ezra chapter 3. But many of the ancients wept with a loud voice. In that day, a night of weeping will be over. It is obvious that Isaiah chapter 12 divides itself into two sections. And this is observed when we notice that the expression that day occurs twice. Verse 1, and in that day. Verse 4, and in that day. That's one reason of this. And in that day thou shalt say. If you have a new revival discovered, that the pronoun thou there is in the singular. In that day thou shalt say. Thus, in verses 1 to 2, we have the abounding joy of Israel as a nation. Verse 3 is a break in the song. Verse 3 contains a promise and connects the first song with the second song in verses 4 to 6. And what does verse 3 say? Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Then verse 4. And in that day shall ye say. But notice with me now, the pronoun ye of verse 4 is in the plural. What now is the significance? In verses 4 to 6, each of the redeemed of Israel calls on the other to praise and to pray and to witness. Verse 4, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings amongst the people. What then is that day? This is the day when the day of Israel's ultimate deliverance, when the nation, as we've been hearing, shall enter into its millennial bliss. And that day awaits assuredly that nation. Now I think of verses 1 to 4, the nation's abounding joy. It is absolutely necessary in your reading of the Old Testament, and in particular the Psalms, to notice the divine titles that are employed. Verse 1 reads like this, O Lord, I will praise thee. What is the title there? It is Jehovah. O Jehovah, I will praise thee. Verse 2, behold God. Behold, El. Verse 2, for the Lord Jehovah for Jah, Jehovah. And this is all very significant. Verse 1. O Jehovah, I will praise thee, and you discover that there are three matters that follow that are the occasion of praise. And what are the three matters for praise that follow? Number 1, thou wast angry with me. Number 2, thine anger is turned away. And number 3, thou comfortest me. Then verse 2, behold El. And again, three matters follow. Number 1, my salvation. Number 2, I will trust. Number 3, and not be afraid. Then verse 2, for Jah Jehovah. And again, three matters follow. Number 1, my strength. Number 2, my song. And number 3, my salvation. Otherwise, my deliverance. So let's think of these matters briefly. First of all, verse 1, Jehovah, I will praise thee. And what is the meaning of this title, Jehovah? It means he will be. Being. And he was. He will be in the future. Being in the present. And he was in the past. Can it be that the title is related to the threefold dealings with that nation about to be mentioned in the verse? In the past, thou wast angry with me. In the present, thine anger is turned away. And in the future, thou comfortest me. I'm aware that all is viewed here as an accomplished act. That is from the standpoint of the tenses implied. We must observe that the three statements in their chronological order are obviously past, present, and future. And thus, this covenant-keeping Jehovah, he might find it necessary to discipline, to be angry, but he will never fail that nation. And let us remember, the song is sung when Jehovah's anger is over. It shall be sung in the day of ultimate deliverance. Hence, from that standpoint, they'll say, thou wast angry. Thine anger is turned away. And as for the future, thou comfortest me. Number 1, thou wast angry with me. Interesting to observe that only the psalmist and the prophet Isaiah speak of Jehovah's anger. I mean, only they use this word anger. Isaiah, amongst the prophets, alone uses this word anger. Jehovah was angry with that nation for its idolatry and removed it to Babylon. Jehovah was angry with that nation for condemning its Messiah, God's Son, to crucifixion, and Jerusalem was raised to the ground. Its streets flowed with blood, and the nation was distressed. Jehovah will be angry with that nation in the future when his covenant for peace with that Roman prince becomes a covenant with death and hell because of its idolatry in the temple. And the result will be the Assyrian will come down upon the nation as its decimator, as the rod of Jehovah's anger. And the day that shall be. Number 2. Then anger is turned away. And Jehovah, who in his anger permits the Assyrian to descend on Israel as a desolator, as the overflowing scourge, as the rod of his anger, will himself deal with that same Assyrian. Jehovah will deal with it. Hence chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, reads like this. The Assyrian shall smite thee, the nation of Israel, with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee, after the manner of Egypt, for he had no more to fight, and the indignation shall cease. and mine anger. Mine anger toward you in their destruction, in the destruction of the Assyrian. If Jehovah was angry with the nation in the matter of the crucifixion of its Messiah, especially as we heard when they said, "His blood be upon us and our children," God will send his Son a second time, as he sent Moses a second time. And please note, my dear brethren, that expression "a second time" invariably has a Jewish connotation. And I trust that you, what each one of this evening believe, that there's a second time for the nation of Israel. As he sent Moses a second time, God will send his Son a second time. What shall happen? He shall appear a second time. Hebrews chapter 9, unto their salvation. And those very marks inflicted upon him will become the means of their salvation. In the language of Joseph to his brethren in Genesis chapter 50, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. And the anger shall be turned away from that nation." Then thirdly, "Thou comfortest me for a prospect." And the priest king, whom Melchizedek prefigured, "O minister in that day, the godly remnant, bread and wine, and they shall enjoy comfort. And the son of righteousness shall arise for the harassed, persecuted remnant with healing on his wings, and they shall be comforted." Or continuing Joseph's message to his brethren in Genesis chapter 50, said Joseph, "Now therefore fear not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and said, I comforted them and spake kindly to them, and they shall be comforted. In the language of Isaiah chapter 40, "Comfort ye, comfort ye my people, says God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Their iniquity is pardoned, for she received from Jehovah's hand the double for all her sins." Now verse 2, El is addressed. "Behold El, behold God, El is my salvation." And what of this title El? This title El speaks of God as the Mighty One, the God who is the first cause of all. And he shall say, number one, "Behold, El is my salvation." Behold, El, the Mighty One, is the source of my salvation. My salvation finds its source in God, the Mighty One. Well, might the apostle say, as he does in Romans chapter 10, is it? Romans chapter 11. "Have God cast away his people," and add significantly, "whom he foreknew." In the beginning, "that nothing they might do was unknown to him. And nothing that may happen can alter or thwart his purpose of grace concerning that nation." Thus Israel was saved. Number two, "I will trust." Number three, "I will not be afraid." I will trust such a God. And number three, "and be not afraid of any fall." As we say today, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now the Lord Jehovah is spoken of in verse 2. "For the Lord Jehovah, Jah Jehovah, is my strength and song. He also become my salvation of my deliverance." Now what of this title, Jah? Well, let me point out, Jah is the first and last letter of the name Jehovah, with a center vowel, ah. You've noticed, perhaps, that Jah is often associated with praise. Hallelujah! What does that mean? Praise ye Jah. Yah speaks of the eternally existing one, whom the present and the future and the past are just the same. And Israel shall say, Jah, Jehovah, the eternal one who inhabiteth eternity. Number one, he is my strength. It comes down from him. He is my song. It ascends to him. He is my salvation. He has procured it. Jah has procured it. Jah is the Lord in the absolute and infinity of his being. Jehovah, this eternal one in relation to his people. Then verse 3, we have the beautiful promise. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Verse 2, God is my salvation. Now, Jehovah is my salvation. And what does this mean? They shall say, I have drunk of those that have salvation. Well, this is no temporal transient salvation. There are wells of salvation. There are fountains of salvation. There is a constant flow. There is a perpetual supply. And blessed is our salvation by faith. They're so different, as we're going to discover, from the blessing and curse of law keeping. These blessings are perpetual. Wells and fountains of salvation. And Israel shall say in that day, I have slaked my thirst with joy at this fountain, but still it flows as fresh as ever. And in the second section, the second section of this song, each redeemed Israelite shall greatly desire the peoples of the earth to share in this salvation. Is this not Pauline teaching again in the book of the Romans? Romans chapter 11. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. Now verses 4 to 6, and quickly. In that day shall ye, all of you, each of you say, praise Jehovah. And the great part is this. Each of the redeemed, in the joy of their salvation, they shall exhort each other. And there appears to be an increase in rejoicing, and that because of an increase in blessing. Notice the increase. Verse 4, praise Jehovah. Verse 5, sing, sons of Jehovah. Verse 6, cry out and shout. In that day you shall say, you shall say to each other, praise Jehovah. And pray, call upon his name, and witness, declare his doings, declare his deeds among the peoples, and make mention of his name, make mention of his name is exalted. Thus be a witness to his work and to his person. Declare his doings, thus his work, and make mention that his name is exalted, thus his person. Verse 5, sing psalms of Jehovah. The thought here is that of a joyful song, for he has done excellent things. And notice, without developing it, this is known in all the earth. Why do you sing about it? Though the earth might know it, you sing about it. Then verse 6, the praise reaches its peak. It rises to a crescendo. Cry and shout, or some render it, lift up your voice. We have a parallel portion in chapter 24, verse 14. They, that is the God of the remnant, spared by Jehovah, they shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of Jehovah. But we ask the question, what is the supreme blessing that causes Israel to cry and shout? Here it is. Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. That is the supreme blessing. Great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Our Lord would hear said, your house is left unto you desolate. And not dead. He will crown the blessings of his living people with his own presence. My dear brethren, my younger Christian friend in particular, here is a greater blessing than any experience of his power. A greater blessing than giving testimony to the nations. And what is that? The blessing of his own blessed presence. That's greater by far than any experience of his power. And greater by far than experience of the New Testament nations. Now I want to say, young Christian friend tonight, don't leave it to your old age to learn and possibly regret that this is the most important blessing. Not to know his power. Not to be able to witness for him. These are necessary. But the crowning blessing is this. The divine presence. Both render it, cry and shout, the inhabitants of Zion. Jerusalem is personified as a woman. And I close by saying this. The last words of Ezekiel's prophecy are surely significant. He tells us Israel's new name, and the name of the city from that day shall be Jehovah Shammah. Do you know what that means? It's crowning blessing. The Lord is there. Shall we pray?